I couldn't be more excited than I am for this weekend to have Pastor Levi Lutsko with us this weekend. He is going to be kicking off a relationship series that we're beginning this weekend on keeping it real and getting it right. And we're just believing great things are going to be happening in the life of our church and in our homes, in our marriages, in our families. Whether you're single, whether you're married, wherever you are in the journey of life, we believe God's going to tailor-make a word for you throughout this series that's going to move your relationships to the next level. So I'd like you right now to get ready and get on your feet with me in just a moment. We're gonna welcome Pastor Levi as he comes. But here's what I want to tell you about him. He pastors Fresh Life Church. He is the founder of Fresh Life Church in Montana. And actually, there's 12 locations now. You guys, I can't hardly keep up with it. 12 locations. And he and his wife, Jenny, are doing an amazing job and as pastors and also impacting the nation through the books that he's writing and the ministry that he has. And his latest book is called Swipe Right. And I think he might be talking a little bit out of that as well this weekend. But he's a friend of ours. We love him. He's back in the house this weekend. I want you, if you would, to just give him a great big welcome. Jump up. Come on, let's let him know.
Come on, Champion Center. Come on. So good. Hey, if you would, stay standing at every location just for a moment, and we'll pray before we jump into the Word, but I just wanted to make sure you know how much I appreciate, how much Jenny and I appreciate, not only your church, but your pastors, and just how much they mean to us. I mean, I know you get them every week, and I'm sure none of you take them for granted, because they, well, first of all, if you did, I'd have to come beat you up, because they are just legendary and gracious. As I was thinking about what they mean to me, I thought of a lot of different adjectives. I thought of a lot of different seasons that they've been there in different ways for us in that capacity. But the thing I think about them probably more than anything is they're generous with influence. Generous in a lot of ways, but generous with their influence. And their goal is to help you get onto a better platform. That's true for every one of you in the church, but just being in their life, you can't help that their goal is to share the influence God's given them with you. And so would you just help me thank God for Pastors Kevin and Sheila? They are amazing. I brought Daisy with me, my third born daughter, and I have a lot of daughters. So I got Little Women. That could be called my biography. But I brought my third born daughter Daisy with me on this trip, and Pastor Sheila was just her and Daisy. Just I've hardly seen Daisy because her and Pastor Sheila have just been running around the mall and everywhere and just having so much fun. And since I was with you last on a weekend, we had a little dude come into our life, and we brought a photograph. This is my crew these days right here, and you'll see little Lennox Alexander right there in the middle. So come on, praise God, because listen, now there's someone else in the house going to the bathroom standing up, and we're just excited about that. And well, let's pray together, and then we'll all grab our seats. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing at every location. Thank you for what you're building in Tacoma, and thank you for the way that influence is spreading and growing and ringing out. What's happening at Champion Center is truly too good to keep to ourselves. Thank you for the way it's blessing Bellevue and just that dynamic work there. And we pray for just increased favor in that area and more opportunities to reach people. And God, we're so eager and excited to see what you're going to do in DuPont. And just the way, God, the vision is growing and the team is building, God, and the way you've given favor with the government and just how you've gone before us, God. And we're just asking for just a dynamic move of your Spirit in the late part of the summer as that just becomes a reality and opens up and continue to add resource and vision and opportunity. God, I pray you'd even now be touching hearts of people in Tacoma and in Bellevue who are going to be called to move their lives to DuPont and be there working and getting coffee and eating and living and bumping into people at parent-teacher meetings and at soccer practice and gymnastic rehearsals and competitions and inviting them to come to Champion Center there in DuPont. God, go before us, not only in these endeavors, but the Church Online family and the way it just continues to grow and people joining in online. And we also ask for more vision and more opportunities to add on rooms to the Champion Center house, God. And we just are excited and eager on the back end of Easter, all the salvation, God, and just all the way you just blew our mind last week. And as we now move into the spring and head towards summer and just such a special time, we're believing for your hand to be on this church and the leadership and the entire staff and every single person who serves. And we just pray, God, that we would all be aware of the opportunities to invite people on the journey. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, you guys can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I bring greetings from Fresh Life Church. Our church family, we just love you guys, our team, our staff. Grateful for just the way you pour out for other church teams to be better through Team Church. And that's, you know, everything God does through your pastors, everything he does through the Team Church and the whole ministry, that's fruit to your account as you give and as you serve here. So, you know, you might serve in one small part of the church where you don't see as much, but just be aware everything God does through the whole church, he's doing through you. So come on, give yourselves a hand because y'all are doing a whole lot. Whether you get to actually put your hands to it physically or not. I think this series is amazing to take some time out and to focus on relationships, both to get them real and to get them right. I think both are incredibly important. And I would just encourage you not to miss a single week of this series because it is going to be powerful. It is going to be life-changing. And you're going to have the opportunity over the course of this series, if you commit to it and you're here and really just bringing what's going on in your life and your dreams and your heart to God, it's just going to be a powerful time. So I would just encourage you even now at the outset of it to make that commitment that you're going to be here in the house for the whole series. Come on, do that. Do that for your heart, do that for your future, for your family, and it'll be a great investment. And I have the privilege of getting to kick it off. And so that just means that you really need to come back in the following weeks as Pastor Kevin kind of sets the record straight from whatever I mess up this week. But I mean that for real because you just see in their marriage and in the Gerald home just an example worth following. And in a world full of divorce and brokenness and I just want to praise God for their marriage and their relationship. And so it's one thing to come listen to someone talk to you about relationships. It's another thing when they're living it out and an example worth following. So every time we're around them, we just feel like we're getting a relationship series just from being near them. So it's going to just get better and better. And then at the very end, it'll be the best right before the last. So come on back. I'm going to kick it off with a message that I'm entitling The Problem with Pineapples. So if you like to take notes in church, jot that down. The Problem with Pineapples. And I'm going to kind of kick it off with a message that has come from a book that I spent almost all of 2017 writing, and it was the synthesizing of a message that my wife Jenny and I have been communicating for over 12 years. We've been preaching about the life and death power of sex and romance. Because there are very few areas of your life that are going to impact and affect the outcome of your life more than your romantic life. Yeah. I mean, Proverbs 4:23 puts it this way. It says, guard your heart or keep your heart, some translations say, with all diligence. Not some diligence, not like a little bit of diligence. It says, keep your heart with, help me if you can preach this, all diligence. Yep. That takes effort. Yep. To keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth some of the issues of your life. No, all of the issues of your life are flowing from your core, flowing from your heart. So what you do with your love life impacts all of your life. So you can't think of your life like one of those old school cafeteria trays where it's like the milk goes in that quadrant and the green beans go in that quadrant and the mashed potatoes are in this zone and none of it's touching itself. I think that's sometimes how we want to live. Well, this is my love life. Don't mess with that, God. And this is my financial life. Well, you're not, ain't hands off the goods, you know. And this is my work life. And what are we saying to God? Well, you can have this one little zone over here. What's that? 1 hour on Sunday, unless the weather's really good or really bad. Well, thanks for dying for me on the cross. You see what I'm saying? And you even just think about how powerful your heart is. It is going to impact your life. So some of you feel perhaps stuck and you're wondering why. It's because you're only offering God little carefully selected, carefully curated portions of your heart, but the actual part of your life that's impacting all of it, your love life, you're keeping from his care. That's like being sick with cancer, going to the doctor, but only allowing him to work on your hand. The problem's in here, but you're saying, well, I'll just touch this right here. He can't help you if you don't let him get to the part that's messing it all up. You might be like, God, my finances are a mess. Your heart's the issue. Well, God, my work life's a mess. Your heart's the issue, right? You can't outlive your love life. So if you're compromising and making, you know, poor decisions when it comes to your romantic life, it's going to impact everything. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring forth the issues of life. My book, Pastor Kevin said, the title is called Swipe Right. Why would I call a book on love Swipe Right? Well, let's just put a pin in that and come back to it and ask this question. Why is there so much swiping going on? There is a lot of swiping going on, right? Like Dora the Explorer, she said swipe or no swiping. Man, Seattle, y'all didn't get that memo, did you? Oh, no, you didn't. You did not, did you? No. Some of you are deeply convicted already, and others of you are confused. So I like that mix. We'll just leave that tension there. Well, let's back up even further. There is swiping going on in a lot of ways. Why? Well, because we all brought one of these in with us. And they say, on average, in America, we touch our phones 150 times per day. Wow. That does not include, by the way, when you check the time on it. Yeah. 150 times when you use your thumbprint or your face print to, that was an iPhone joke, to actually open it up. 150 times, and that's sessions. So that's not individual touches, that's sessions. It breaks down to once every 6 minutes. They say roughly 4 hours per day is spent on our phones, which is 25% of our waking lives. 25% of our waking lives. And it's messing us up. Truth is, we're not becoming better drivers. That's for sure. We're not getting better at conversation, right? Pizza is bae. Cash me outside. How about dad? Like what is going on? Something with the leprechauns? I mean, I'm just saying, we're not getting smarter, I don't think. We're also not developing longer attention spans, squirrel, right? I mean, we're easily distracted. We're craving stimulation constantly. And some would even say we're rewiring ourselves on the inside because of this constant influx of stimulation and dopamine. They compare what happens to your brain when you get a text message and you hear it. And you sense, oh, my phone just got a text message. They compare that to the pull of the arm in a Las Vegas casino slot machine. Wow. The impact on your brain is exactly the same. Wow. And if your phone is near you but you can't get it and you know you got a message, your body releases cortisol, which is a stress effect on your body. You start to actually feel anxious and stressed out. There's new conditions they're describing. These are real things. I haven't made any of these up. There's something called PSA, phone separation anxiety. That's how you feel when you think maybe, just maybe, you can't find your phone. And you start panicking. Anybody, am I getting close to where you live? You're like, where's my phone? Nobody move. What, did someone lose a baby, a contact lens? No, it's much worse than that. I can't find my phone. Right. PSA. There's one called FOBO, right? FOBO. You're like, did you mispronounce FOMO? No, it's a new thing. FOBO is fear of being offline, right? I would go with y'all, but there's not Wi-Fi and I am out of data, right? I am not going. The struggle is real. Fear of being offline. There's also another one I read about called phantom vibration sensation. This is where you get a text message, so you pull your phone out, but you didn't get a text message. Your body is so craving it, it tells you, you got a text, just so you'll pull your phone out, even though you didn't. It's manufacturing text messages. Honestly, in church, who's ever had a phantom vibration? Both of my arms are going up. It happens to me all the time. They're like, oh, I got a phone. I was like, oh, you get a text? I didn't hear anything. I'm like, well, I could have sworn I did. I'll just go on Instagram for a few moments. Phantom vibration sensation. Now, this, of course, is interconnected with our sexuality now, technology and romance. Why? Well, let's start with this. 1/3 of the internet is pornography. 1/3 of the internet. 36%, they say, of online data is porn. Then you have the fact that 1 out of 4 Google searches is sexual in nature. So that's ridiculous. And you also have the advent of the dating app, which has come about in our lifetime. And the world is changing aggressively. You're like, what's the big deal with that? We had You've Got Mail and eHarmony after that. Doesn't You've Got Mail seem like sending the carrier pigeons out? It's so positively, you know, Victorian almost. Like, oh, how they were writing emails? Do our phones even still do that, right? It's crazy to think that that was at one point like something that was like a novel idea. The dating app, which is so incredibly exponentially growing in our day as a means to meet people. Just by the way, pro tip, silence your phone right now. If you get a Tinder notification while I'm preaching this sermon, you are going straight to hell. I'm just telling you right now. Just, it's on the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay? Sociologists say that the advent of the dating app represents one of the 2 biggest seismic shifts in how people hook up in our history. Wow. The first one being the agricultural revolution, wow, when people stopped being nomadic and settled down in farming communities. Wow. That and the dating app, of which there are many. And more every day. I mean, you got OkCupid and Hinge and Happn and Grindr. And I was watching Shark Tank the other day. I even heard of a new one based on hatred. Honest to God, someone pitched it. It was a new dating app. And he said, you get the app and you type in all the things you hate. And then it puts you into an interaction with all the people who hate those other things. And I was watching this and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, I had to speak up. So I started yelling at my television. And here's my thought. Call me crazy. I just have a hard time believing you're going to be psyched on the fact when you're 70 years old and your grandkids are gathered around the fire. It's like, tell us one more time the story of how you met grandma. And you're going to be like, well, Billy, our relationship's based on hatred. And call me old fashioned, but I think there's something you could do better for the bedrock underneath your ground of your life, of your home. You know, what you build your life on, it needs to be able to withstand the rigors and the craziness of this life. That's why Jesus said, don't build your life on shifting sands. Build your life on the rock. Build your life in such a way that even when the winds come and the storms blow, that the house will not fall, because great will be its foundation. And then, you know, if you know anything about our story, my wife Jenny and I, you know, we've had to face what to any parent would be the most unspeakable thing you could go through, and having to bury a child. And let me just tell you something. In those moments of pain and grief that's so severe, it takes your very breath from your lungs. And in those moments, that's when you need solid ground under your feet. And you want to know that you have built your life. You have built your relationships. You want to talk about getting it right. You want to talk about keeping it real. You want to know that you have built your home on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And it's not just, oh, she's beautiful. And it's not just, oh, he has money. And it's not just, oh, he's connected and networked. I mean, those things will not withstand the rigors and the pain and the reality of life. What if one of you ends up in a wheelchair? What if, God forbid, one of you, you know, ends up paralyzed or disabled in some way, you just want to know that they're not in it for superficial reasons. They're not in it for reasons that merely look good on Instagram, you know. And I think we have to zoom out a little bit, because what is so tempting is with this instant gratification obsessed life we live, to live only right here.
Right.
Even right now, as I'm preaching this, some of you are pushing back on it, because the Holy Spirit of God is already even telling you, hey, you need to come back next week and the week after that. In fact, the relationship you're in, the Holy Spirit is even telling you, it's not right for you. Wow. To getting it right, you can't do that with this person. Even we're not even 17 minutes into this series. It's going to be 6 weeks long, or 7 weeks long, or 3 weeks long, however long God wants it to be. And let me tell you something. He's going to change your life through it, but you're already pushing back on it, because you're saying no. You're clenching up right now, going, well, God, fix my relationship, but fix it with this person. And God's saying no. And your response to God is, but he's hot. And I say, so is hell. I'm telling you, if you want to get it right, it can't be done with the wrong person. And so I think we live in this day where things are changing, and we at least have to recognize that and face up to that. And Tinder is the dating app that really started the revolution, because they're the one who brought swiping to the experience. Because there was online hookup services before, but Tinder allowed us to swipe right or swipe left. And of course, because you have a friend who one time was on it, if you swipe right on them and they swipe right on you, you're brought into a conversation together where you could then potentially meet at some point in person, where you could begin to speak of deep things, and over a long period of time where you write letters to each other, eventually you'll meet their parents in a very romantic, civil, professional, polite, prolonged way, saving the gift of sex for marriage. You'll eventually go to the altar. This is what Tinder is doing to us. And then you'll get married, and the rest is of course history. That's how the app is built to work. But how commonly it's used, which is a deviation from what the builders intended, is people will use this app to have sex with a stranger, and it's very common in cities all across our country, New York, L.A., Seattle, of course, notwithstanding, for young professionals, young people in our day who want to have sex with people but don't want the drama of a relationship, don't want to be married, that's not at all a thought, don't want to even have a boyfriend or girlfriend, but still have needs, to resort to this to find someone to have what they would call no strings attached consensual sex with. In the words of one a mobile dater who was interviewed by Vanity Fair, this was a girl in Manhattan, she said, guys these days have no interest in being in a relationship. They just want to hit it and quit it. Hit it and quit it. In Manhattan alone, 80% of young men and 60% of young women are on Tinder, and the average user fires the app up 11 times a day. And it's not uncommon in many articles I've read in the New York Post and other publications for people to do this multiple times a week and focus on their law career, graphic design company or whatever, but then just utilize the app to do what you used to have to go to a bar or a club, that is to strike up the conversation with someone and eventually get back to bed. Now, this Tinder app just makes it as easy as ordering an Uber to have sex with a stranger and go your way like nothing happened. According to Wired magazine, Tinder has now had 1 trillion swipes. Wow. 1 trillion. Wow. And facilitated over 20 billion connections through the app. And like I said, that's just one of many of these services. Now, of course, in saying all this, like, okay, Instagram's highly addicting. We knew that. Text messaging is changing our lives and making us dumber. Got it. And people use the internet to meet people. This point of this sermon isn't let's all abandon technology.
Sure.
I mean, it's not going to be an altar call at the end where all the ushers pass buckets and we're asking you to throw your smartphone away, start churning your own butter, making your own clothes, you know, putting an aluminum foil hat on and waiting for the Antichrist with, you know, a loaded shotgun. That's not my sermon, right? I happen to believe we can't reach a world that we've abandoned. Wow. And Jesus said we're to be in this world and not of this world. So we had better find a way, listen to me, to swipe right. But I don't mean that left, right. That's how the world sees it. Is he hot? Is she not? Do I want this? Does this feel good? I'm talking about wrong right.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference. And the only way to swipe right is to look up and look at God's sight. So if we look up, we can live in this world in a way that is right. And that's why I wrote the book that I did, because here's the truth and big idea. God wants you to have amazing sex. So there I said it. I thought it was going to get an applause, but y'all just sat there like you didn't want to have any. Let me tell you something. I've had sex, 5 kids. It feels great. I plan to have some more if the week goes well. All right? Sex is awesome. And that should be celebrated. And this is a church where it's going to be trumpeted that sex is a gift from God. Man, it's banging. It feels great. I like Dr. Dre's response when he was asked, what's the key to a good relationship? He said, laughter, forgiveness, and a lot of orgasms. And you know what? Amen to the good doctor. I'm telling you. Right, the doctor is in. And here's the truth. You're not used to hearing, you know, in most churches around our world, you're not used to hearing talk like that. Why? Because we let the devil be the one to talk like he owns it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure God laughs going, I got the patent on the wall in my office from when I invented it. Come on, somebody. God is the one who invented sex. It's his invention. He gave it to us as a gift to be used, stewarded, and enjoyed. And get this. Listen very carefully. Sex is pleasurable, but it's also powerful. Very powerful. And that's why God told us how to use it, this good gift he gave to us, so we would enjoy it but not be hurt by it. All powerful things are that way. Fire will heat up your home. Fire feels so good in the winter. Fire will cook your food, power your vehicle. Fire will help us send rockets to Mars eventually that will take people there. I'm sure that the Tesla rocket is even now being warmed up if the Amazon one doesn't beat it there. And we know NASA's not going to get us there, right? Government contract. Joking. All right. So, here's the truth. Powerful things don't just have the potential to warm your home and warm your life. They have the potential to burn your life to the ground. And that's why God, who gave us a pleasurable, powerful gift, told us how to use it so we would enjoy it and get the most out of it without being destroyed by it. What do those instructions look like? Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So short, you could tweet the thing, but this is God's idea, the actual idea and the guidelines by which we can enjoy and get the most out of the sexual experience. The idea is the marriage bed, where you have a man and a woman coming together in a covenant before God for a lifetime, and that is the arena in which sex is to be enjoyed. Keep it there. Go nuts. It's amazing. It's fantastic. It feels good. It'll warm up your heart, warm up your home. But you take it out of that arena, and it will cause consequences. That's what God says. Now, of course, this is ironically the area where people start to get an attitude and arms start to cross. And it's like, oh, he doesn't want us to have any fun. Oh, I see where this is going. Hold on a second. You go to Home Depot. You buy a chainsaw. You start to open the box. You start to realize, wait a minute, there are rules all over this thing. There's instructions all over this thing. Do you start going, they don't want me to have any fun? No, I think you intuitively know they don't want you to chop your freaking arm off, right? Here's my question. Why do we give more grace to Home Depot than we do to God? Why do we get all attitude-y when God tells us how to use a powerful thing he invented, when we give the benefit of the doubt to companies every single day? Someone grabs your laptop, starts throwing it in the pool. No, you're going to stop them. Why? The company says not to. Because this powerful thing will be destroyed if you misuse it. And so it is with every good gift that God has given to us. We need to understand that. Can't fit the whole book into this talk, so if this interests you at all, get it to resource it. There's lots more than just what we're covering, of course. There's a chapter on marriage called Date Your Mate or the Devil Will Find Someone Who Will. There's also stuff on how parents can turn the awkward sex talk with their teenagers into an ongoing conversation that leads to wise choices. But I wanted to fit a lot of some of the important ideas, at least, into the time that remains. So I'm going to give you just a few things to jot down. There's going to be three. So these are good to take notes if you like to take notes in church. If you're new, just kind of on the journey, and you're like, take notes. We're just glad you're here. This is a church where you can belong before you believe. So thanks for being here. You don't have to take notes, have a Bible, have the right clothes on. We're just glad you're here. Write this down, though. Sex is not just a physical activity. What do you mean? Well, I should preface this. My outline that I'm going to have you write down are three lies about sex, all right? Three lies about sex. The first is, the lie is, sex is just a physical activity. If I had tried harder, I'd have said it properly the first time and wouldn't have had to back up and qualify. Okay, so lie number one. This is what the devil wants you to think about sex. Just a physical activity. That's what culture tells us, isn't it? Yeah. It's just my body. Yeah. It's just, if as long as it's safe sex, right? That's, you'll hear that. Protected sex, that's the emphasis. As long as it's safe, we're good. But I would just tell you this. There's not a condom big enough to fit over your soul.
Yes. Wow. So true.
Yeah. And sex is not just physical. It involves your heart. And Paul tells us that clearly in 1 Corinthians 6 in the Message translation. It says, there's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. Sex is not just your body. It involves your heart. And that's why the Bible talks about the two becoming one as being something that happens on the inside. Obviously, Adam and Eve didn't become one physical person. They weren't having a three-legged race tied together from then on. Right. They were separate physically, but joined together emotionally. Yes. And when you join yourself to someone, there's a union, there's a bond. That's why it's so hard to see the faults in someone that you've begun to sleep with. Honey, if you are under him, you ain't getting over him. You see what I'm saying? That's why we've seen that person that's in this relationship, and everyone else goes, that guy's no good for you. And why don't you see it? Because you've blinded yourself to him by becoming one with him prematurely. Wow. So sex is not just your heart, your body, it's also your heart. There's a second lie, jot this down. This lie is a church lie. It says, I can do what I want and have what God wants. Maybe you've grown up in this wonderful church or another, and you know, you've heard the grace message, you've heard the gospel, you've heard this, and so you've kind of gotten this in your head, like, I know this is true, and I want heaven, and I want God's blessing on my life, but I also want to have fun now. And while I'm in high school or college or young 20s or whatever, I want to kind of have this period to go nuts a little bit. Then eventually I'm going to say uncle, tap out, tell God I'm sorry, he'll forgive me for all my sin, and then I'll go forward into all that he has for me. And some of you see your faces right now, you're like, and what's the problem with that? Here's the problem with that. There's this little thing called sowing and reaping. And what a man sows, the same will he reap. You're saying God won't forgive me? No, of course he'll forgive you. What I'm saying is God's highest good for your life isn't just forgiving you from sin he didn't want you to commit in the first place. He would much rather be blessing you and using you than forgiving you. And what you do over here that you're planning on saying sorry for, you're not getting it all out of your system. You're getting it all into your system, and you're bringing it into your system, into that future marriage where it will be working against the marriage. And many, I believe, many marriages in our day end for things that happened before the marriage ever even began. Like, they were so good. I don't understand what happened. Yeah, they were good. They both brought so much in their hearts that was unhealthy and toxic. They brought so many people into their bed, even in the imagination and in the pictures they had looked at, and they had slept. They joined their hearts to so many people, and they brought all of that unhealth into the relationship with them. So no, you can't just do what you want and have what God wants. It reminds me of pineapples. When Christopher Columbus first sailed the ocean blue in 1492, he brought back the pineapple to Europe. It had never been seen before there. People had no idea what to do with this mysterious fruit that was juicy like an apple but shaped like a pine cone, but they had to have them. And it became such a hot item that at the peak of the pineapple frenzy, which lasted for almost 200 years, this fruit would be sold for, in today's currency, $8,000.
Wow.
$8,000, symbol of luxury and privilege. But today, nobody cares about this. Nobody, it's $2.50 or something like that. Why? Here's why. Here's what it's become. Pineapple chunks. They were such a hot item. Someone just started cranking up the distribution and they became pineapples everywhere. Pineapple chunks? Are you kidding me? That's a synonym for vomiting, right? How was the dinner? Oh, I blew chunks. Oh, you didn't like it. But what a telling comparison of sex in our day.
Wow.
What was supposed to be this carefully guarded secret treasure of an experience is now pineapple chunks. Why? That's the problem with pineapples. When you're having sex with everybody, it's the same as having sex with nobody.
Wow.
And what is available to all is desired by none. So in our day, what God gave to us that's to be stewarded is now being dispersed through the streets.
Wow.
And as a result, we're giving up what God gave us through it. Now, at the end of the message, I'm sure there are, for many of us, this thought, this recurring thought, and it's this: I wish someone had told me this sooner. You're thinking, God, why did no one tell me that when I was in sixth grade? Or if they did, why didn't I listen? I relate, both because of my own struggle with pornography and doing things not how God wanted it, but also because I once had a 70-year-old woman after I preached this sermon come up to me with tears in her eyes who grabbed my hands and said, if I could have heard this message 50 years ago, you could have saved me 50 years of regret. Wow. But what I want you to know is this. You can't undo anything from your past, but what God is able and capable of doing is being more a part of your present and that moving into the future, and with time, it becoming a new past. Let me just tell you something. His mercies are new. His compassions, they don't fail. And you can right here, right now, say, from this day forward, I want to do things God's way. From this day forward, I want to honor God. The devil might have got my past, but he's not going to get a bit of my future, because in Jesus' name, I'm going to rise up in strength and rise up in honor. And I'm going to tell you something. God's so good, he'll even bless you for things you shouldn't have even done. He will redeem to you the years the locusts have eaten. How does that work? It helps by you applying what is your hindsight to other people and letting it become their foresight. And he'll encourage you as you are used to minister to other people so they don't have to repeat the same mistakes you did. And he can heal you in your heart in every way, I believe, in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this chance to get our relationships right and to keep them real. Thank you for what you're doing at every single location in Church Online right now in the hearts of those here. And with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, but our hearts open, if you're here and you would say, this message touched me and I want to respond in my relationships, in my romantic life, my marriage, in my singleness, could I just ask you to raise your hand up to God? Every single person who's responding to this message by saying, I want to rise up in strength and honor. I want to pursue God's best for my love life. My hand is raised. I want that. I want to fight for my marriage. I want to fight that I might be an example to my daughters and to my son. I want generations of legacy and righteousness and all my kids to be like arrow shot out. Thank you, Jesus, for each of these. Touch their hearts, touch their hands. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here and you need to give your heart to Jesus. This is your day. This is your time. The Spirit of God's calling your heart. Could you at every location, if you want to open the door of your heart to Jesus who died for you and rose from the dead, put your hand up in the air right now. Put your hand up in the air. Every location, just put your hand up. Praise God for each of you. Church Online, raise your hand up right now. Surrender your heart to Jesus. Say, God, I give you me. Come on, church, pray it with us. God, I give you me. I give you my life. I give you my dysfunction. I give you my sin, and I give you my future. I am your child by faith, through grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, every church, every location, Champions Center, let's celebrate for every new child of God. Come on, in Jesus' name.